Gospel according to John and chapter 5, and we shall read again verse 28. John 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now in the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which speaks of the Lord's second coming, we read there that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That shout, seems to me, will be the first indication of any change at all. The first indication that it is now the end of the world. That history is now being wound up. When this shout comes from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, that is going to be some shout. All that are in the graves will hear his voice, and they shall come forth. We might speculate on what he might say. He might say, "Awake, arise, come forth," or something like that. But it does not really matter what he shall say, because there will be a response. All, without exception, will obey his voice. There will be no resistance to his authority and to the majesty and rule and power of his voice. No one will be left in any doubt whatsoever that things have changed, and that they have changed irreversibly. This is not just a passing abnormality, but it is a change for good and all. The end of the world has arrived. There will be no doubt whatsoever about it, because even those that are in the graves shall hear his voice and they shall respond. When someone dies, we sometimes hear the words, "Well, he or she is now at rest." Comforting words, but oh, how misleading these words can be. Yes, their bodies are at rest, but that does not mean that their souls are at rest. The state of their souls may be the farthest they could possibly be from rest. And even the body itself, even although it seems so final and it's being, as we say, laid to rest, even that rest is going to be disturbed, because all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth. It is nor a kindness to give the impression to the living, to those that are alive and remain at the time of death. It is not a kindness to give them the impression that all that have died are at rest, and that they are at rest forever, not to be disturbed. That is not a kindness. Indeed, I would go as far as to say that it is the height of cruelty and the height of deceit to lull poor men and women into complacency about what awaits them. Ministers can be guilty of that. I know that there is naturally a desire at such a time to be compassionate and to be kind. And that is right that that should be so. Because it's a situation of grief. But to give the impression that all is well for all forever once the moment of death comes, it is to me a ministerial crime. And it is a manipulation of people's minds, a killing of any serious thought that might be there, to the extent that it is just psychologically fraudulent to manipulate in that way. Especially so if it is done for the sake of popularity. First of all, let us look at the certainty. Certainty is no longer a popular word in the world. A very, very powerful forces at work in the world today, manipulating people's thoughts, manipulating their basic fundamental things, the foundations on which their reason and their logic have been based for years. They are being manipulated to think that there are no certainties. That there is no certain truth. Relativism, pluralism, and now postmodernism. These are forces of evil in our society. And they have the semblance of authority because they come from such a high intellectual level in society. People are trained, shaped into thinking and believing that there are no certainties any longer. And that it is people who have certainties about certain things who are spoiling society. They are a danger to society because they are troublemakers. They are the enemies of the gospel. They are the enemies of God. They are the enemies of society. They are the enemies of poor men and women on whom they prey. Because they are taking away their foundations. They are manipulating their minds away from truth, away from certainties. And if they can remove certainties, Then they remove the gospel, because you cannot have a gospel without certainties, without things that God has spoken in truth, without things that God has done and done them in truth. Without these things, there is no gospel. Gospel is impossible. If this book is not truth, then there is no point in me being here. What makes something certain? Well, evidence can make something certain. And evidence does have some place in the Christian faith. Because we know that one of the best attested facts of the history of the time is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the best attested from not just biblical history, but secular history. No one has ever brought forward any real evidence that disproves the resurrection. There have been those who set out to prove it and who have come to the realization that it was the truth. But there is more than evidence. We don't base our faith simply on evidence. There is authority. There is a voice of authority that speaks truth. That authority is the word of Christ. That is what we have in this book. The word of Jesus Christ himself. That is what we base our faith on. And we believe that it is certainty. Absolutely immovable and unshakable truth. And it is and will remain indestructible. Yes. Man may do a lot of damage to a lot of people, but this certainty, the truth of the gospel, can never be destroyed. It will never be extinguished. As long as this world remains. And that voice of authority will one day speak, will descend from heaven with a shout. Yes, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, but the first thing is that he will descend with a shout. And surely this is it. That those who are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they shall come forth. The authority of this voice is such that the souls of all that are in the graves will rush to them to be joined with them, and they will be raised from the dead. They shall hear his voice. We are talking here about certainty. There is no doubt whatsoever about this. This is God-given certainty. Question for us all is, do we believe Jesus Christ? That's the question. Do you believe him? Do you believe this book, which is his word? So there's the certainty. Then there is the universality. We read the words, the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. All. Every dead person has a grave. They may not have an ordered grave with a tombstone. Their grave may be in the sea. Their grave may be just ashes scattered all over the country, or even cast into the sea. But they all have a grave from which they will arise. Let no one think that because they have done certain things that they can cheat God, that they can cheat the resurrection, they can make it impossible for God to raise them. Let none think that. Anyone who thinks that, their God is quite simply too small. There are no obstacles in the way of God. Nothing is impossible to him. And he will raise all from the dead. All that are in the graves. Wherever their grave may be, whatever form it may take, God will raise them from the dead. All will hear his voice and they shall come forth. Revelation 20, we read these words. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And so the judgment proceeded. We read there also that the sea gave up its dead. Not just the land, but the sea. All that are in their graves, whatever form it may be, they will hear the voice of the Son of God. And they will come forth. There will be no exceptions. This is universal. All of mankind, past, present and future. There will be no sleep-ins. There will be no one passed over. There will be no one so mutilated or spread around that they will be missed. They will all hear the voice of the Son of God and they will come forth. No sleep-ins, no passing over, no ignoring this voice. There will be, even when there is rebellion in the heart, there will be an obedience to this voice of authority. Thirdly, the response. There will be a worldwide rustling. Graves being disturbed. And they shall come forth, not by coercion, but they will come forth of their own will. It doesn't say they shall be brought forth. It says they shall come forth. They will come forth of their own will. Even in rebellion, they will come forth because they cannot disobey the voice of the Son of God. Coming now not as meek and mild, but coming as the judge of all the earth, the great judge, who will separate the quick from the dead, the sheep from the goats, and will pronounce judgment upon them all. They will all gather from all the earths. They will gather, and they will all be gathered before him. And again, let's not have any problems with that. That is no problem to God to gather all who have ever lived, past, present and future, to gather them before his judgment seat. It will not be a scene of disorder, but it will be a scene of perfect order and perfect behavior as they listen to the voice of the Son of God, such authority that no one will show any disobedience. Some, in shame before him, some in joy, some to life, as it says here, to be with him forever. Some to damnation. Two lots and none in between. Either one or the other will be your lot. But finally, all will be decided in this life. We might call this point the importance of this life. Never let us minimize it. Every moment we have in this life is of the greatest importance as far as our future is concerned. Let's go back to verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now that might look something like verse 28. But you won't study it for very long to realize that it is not the same thing as verse 28. But that verse 25 is about this life. This hour now is. Verse 29 is about the judgment day. Verse 25 is about this life. But things that are happening here and now. Speaking about good things that are happening here and now. Good things that are happening to people here and now in this life. Good things. Which if they don't happen in this life, they will not happen at all. The hour is coming, and indeed now is, the hour when sinners will be being saved. The hour is now when sinners are being saved. All over the world, sinners are being saved. Multitudes of them. Because there will in the end on the right hand be a multitude that no man can number. Though spiritually dead, that's what man is in his natural state. Spiritually dead. Though spiritually dead, they will hear the voice of the Son of God. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, the spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. The spiritually dead will be brought to spiritual life. It will be gloriously born again of the Spirit of God. It will be new creatures in Christ by union with Him. They will believe, and they will receive Him, and they will be His forevermore. You notice what is the key word. Key word is surely the word hear. They that hear. No, I think we can safely say that there's a hearing and a hearing. Many who hear this word with their ears will never hear it in the way of responding. They will never heed it. But some will hear that voice. Say to them words of love. I am the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Savior of sinners. I am the friend of sinners. They complained about me that I was too friendly with sinners. But that's what I am. I am the friend of sinners. And I have opened a way for them that they might escape condemnation and that they might be saved. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me and I will save you. I will give you life. Hear my words. Receive me as a sinner. For it is sinners that I receive. Not the righteous, but sinners. Hear me. Receive me. Come unto me. And you will live. And you will know now that you live. You will know now that you are saved. Because you will be alive in a way that you were not alive before. Come unto me. I have done it all for you. Don't start trying to do anything yourself. Because my work is complete. It cannot be added to. Doesn't matter how low you are. I will do the complete job for you in a moment. And you will be in a moment as saved as anybody has ever been. Hear my voice. Hear, hear, hear. This life, what is it? It's the most important period as far as your destiny is concerned. Make sure that you make use of this time. Every moment you are given in it, make use of it. Make sure that you have Christ. Make sure that you have heard His voice and that you have responded, that you have come to Him. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank Thee for a word of truth. We thank Thee, Lord, that there are certain truths which cannot be shaken by all the efforts of men. We thank Thee that we can anchor ourselves to these truths, not be at the mercy those who would blow us into shipwreck. Lord, may our anchor be cast in Jesus Christ. He who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, help us to have our anchor in Him during this time. Bless us and keep. Watch over us throughout this day. Help us to keep this day holy. And forgive our sins. In Jesus' name. Amen.